This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling. So.
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Aural. A-U-R-A-L.
What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Lynch's collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course, as the crossplay. Bismarck. No, wasn't it? Bismarck, wasn't it?
Bismarck.
No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the things.
I think they might hit shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I'm just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what you're
our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
People cry, people moan. Look for a dry place to call their home. Try to find some place to rest their bones. All the angels and the devils try to make their own.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the One Only Place to Be Podcast. I'm your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live here on this Wednesday evening. Very balmy. Mr. Arthur is in the air, coming towards us, but we're going to try and squeeze this one in before the holiday weekend. And the man who's done a great job of squeezing things in over this past weekend leading up to the show is my PIC, Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
Eskimo brother, it's good to talk to you.
So we're going to let that one go after this week, right?
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, squeeze jokes. Yeah. All right, Jay, it's always a pleasure. Welcome to episode 321 of the Place to Be podcast. And yeah, Arthur is rolling in. Supposed to duck us, I think, on Friday. So hopefully it does. But what we will not be ducking is a very fun show tonight.
Speaking of Arthur, Arthur Spooner is a TV character from King of Queens, and he's involved in our World Cup of TV characters, Scott.
He is.
If you guys haven't voted yet, head over now. I think we got the first 8 groups up. We're trying to determine the greatest TV character. Each group has 8 names. You pick 4, and then once we get down to 128 off of the 256, we go into the bracket mode. So please head over today, placetobenation.com, and get your votes in right now. And Scott, of course, last Monday we did the Vintage Vault for, what do we talk about?
Survivor Series 2002.
Yes, that's right, we did. And tonight we head way back to 1993 for the third installment of our WWE Network Live Watch History of Monday Night Raw series. Mm-hmm. We've done the first 4 episodes. Now we're into February. And, of course, we always have an esteemed panel with us to help us track the fun facts, to help us bullshit during the show, and to make some jokes and talk about what's going on. So why don't we slowly bring them in? We'll start with the second most tenured member here in the Place to Be podcast guest list. Big member of PlaceToBeNation.com, one of our inner circle members, and that is Mr. Steve Willey. Steve, how you doing?
Doing very good. Thank you very much for having me back on. I'm excited.
Yes, it's been too long.
Head back to 93.
I'd like to do this every day if we could, but unfortunately it's like once a month. All right. Let's also bring in, he is the host of PlaceToBeNation.com's Sports Lounge. You may have heard the brand new episode went up earlier today, and that is the Cowboy, Mr. Roger Morissette. Roger, how are you?
Doing great, Justin.
You ready to watch him raw?
Born ready.
All right, sounds good. And the man who's usually in the third spot, Chad Campbell, had a little business to take care of tonight, unable to join us. And so we do have the winner of this year's PTB Trivia Contest as his prize is joining us here for Raw, and that is Jordan Duncan. Jordan, how you doing?
I was actually told I would win an iPod case.
Oh, well, you should have stole that other one then. So
yeah,
you're
I guess not. Yeah.
Well, our assistant, our new assistant who we just hired today since she was unemployed, will give you hers. Yes. So.
Excellent.
So, Jordan, should we dump you off the show and then bring you back in 20 minutes and
yeah,
rehire you?
Sounds great.
Okay. All right, so we got a great panel. Everyone sounded good. Everyone sounded clear. For your reference, if you want to join along, you can fire up the February 15th, 1993 edition of Raw. There was no episode the week before due to the dog show, so it's now been 2 weeks since we last were here. And everyone is paused about 1 second in with Brutus Beefcake on the screen. So when everyone is ready, we'll count down and we'll fire this up. Everyone good?
I am good.
All right. Yes, three, sir. Two. All right. And we're starting with Brutus Beefcake in front of a Monday Night Raw graphic setting up tonight's big match. If you remember at our last show, he made his return and cut a promo about how awful his life has been over the last 3 years. And he was issued death threats on the crowd, and a little bit long, that promo. And Ted DiBiase and IRS came out, and they wanted to fight him in his return match, but Jimmy Hart was very, very nervous, as we can see here in this inset promo with Ted DiBiase as well.
So, still nervous, yes.
Yes, he's
bouncing. I already miss DiBiase's blonde hair. He looks so much older when it went all dark. He doesn't seem as affluent now without his dyed blonde hair.
Do you like the smoother suit, though? Like, he doesn't have the glitzier suit now. Now it's more...
Yeah, it's actually got, like, an almost actual tuxedo on.
Yeah,
I was going to say, it looks like it could be an actual suit.
Yes, more straight black. So here we go. We got our opening animation, and where are we? Oh, still in the Manhattan Center, which is always good. We got a couple of ham and eggers in the ring here for our opener.
Mm-hmm. Give that woman some ham and eggs. She see her ribcage.
the dearth of talent on the early Raw ring card girls is just unbelievable. It's just worse and worse every week.
I feel like they just let Bartley go out to some local strip club and just bring him in.
Yes. It's like he got that suit from a local strip club, too.
It looks like he's dressed
like... Look at that guy behind him, though. Oh, my God.
Yeah, look like Danny DeVito's cousin. Vlad wearing his free Eichel Pro shirt today.
Yep. That was like a WrestleMania 9 hat.
And that was a sweatshirt Vlad had on. Usually he's showing the guns with the tank top on. This been really frigid that night.
Well, it is a cold February night in New York, so.
Yes. Macho Man looking garish as ever.
Yes, with his unmatched, though. Mismatched. He's got black and white hat, and usually he's matching. Yeah. Vince probably just said, Bartlett, you never outdress me. Continue to look gaudy.
He said he didn't want to soil the suit. Oh, let's go see someone get dropped on their head.
Oh, these guys.
Hail to the victors.
All right.
Michigan's own.
One of the teams we've really been wanting to track as we move along. Scott, why are you guffawing?
See which ham and egger Steiner kills. Scott Steiner kills. Who are these two stiffs? Are they going to show names here?
Now, we haven't seen them, right?
Wow.
The Steiner since one of our first episodes.
Nope. Look at these two humps. Good Lord.
Yeah, I think it was actually the first episode. They were the first match on the first episode.
And neither of them are allowed to have graphics for their names. So.
Well, I'll pick up their names. I think one of them is probably the leader for... Actually, Glenn Ruth is one of them.
Yeah, Glenn Ruth is in the ring currently.
And Bobby Who is the other one. And this...
Bobby Who?
Who?
Bobby Who?
This show is actually taped back on February 1st, so that same taping... That we watched our last episode is the.
I already noticed the tag rope. That's something that sticks out to me. I don't know that they still use that anymore, do they?
Tag rope is very Federation era-esque.
Yeah.
Do they have tag ropes in the Attitude Era? Probably not. Unless they used it to choke people.
Right.
So, he's dead.
Oh,
he's dead. There you go. Dead. Told you. Dead.
Scott Steiner just dragon suplexed him right on the back of his head.
Yep, and he looks angry that he did it, too.
Yeah. Well, there we go, as expected.
So is Glenn Ruth our leader for the 90s, by the way, already?
What, with that awesome, with those awesome tights?
And he had the jacket on, too.
Yeah, the jacket is what does it.
I don't know. Rick Steiner's tights are very 90s. They're very 21 Jump Street-ish.
I was going to say Glenn Ruth looks like out of a title screen of In Living Color.
Yes. This guy stole Brett's alternate reject tights.
Ooh. That's a hairdo on Bobby.
It's like he's got like underwear on over a onesie. <It's> like, it doesn't even match. What is that?
Geez.
Oh, now Rick's going to kill this guy. See, that's how you do it. See, nice and clean, landed on his back. Why don't you learn something, Scott?
Bobby Who's got some nice hair.
Yeah, he does.
He does have some very fine bouffant. Oh, that guy looked like Bastion Booger in the crowd. Was Mike Shaw in the crowd?
This outfit's probably the least intimidating male wrestling outfit I've ever seen in my life.
Do you have a Jim Neidhart outfit? Only part of it.
Okay. Make sure you grow that blonde hair out. All right. It's terrible.
All right, guys. So I could tell you on February 13th, 1993, in Manhattan, New York, the low that day was 33 degrees, average temperature 35. So, you know, not that cold, but the snow depth on the ground that day was 2.8 inches.
Wow.
So, man, that's why Vlad had a sweatshirt on. But 33, it's like it was 10 out. He can still sport the tank top.
Right.
Yeah. Randy Savage is having some microphone troubles here, and he's getting pretty irritated.
Uh-oh.
You know, he's had a rough go. The crowd holding those replica belts, those look
You know, it's funny, Jordan. My eyes were drawn to look at that guy. That's like a...
They weren't selling those back then.
I mean, man, I'm pissed. I don't remember the belts that nice in 1993.
Yeah, those are awesome looking belts.
Look at that thing. That's like legit. I don't think like... well, at the time, I guess it was still Reggie Parks. I don't think Dave Milliken was doing his yet, but I don't think you could buy belts back then yet. Like,
yeah, I don't think so.
Unless you... I mean, maybe he did have them in the commercial market. I mean, I'm sure he had to pay like $5,000 for it, but
Bobby, who with short-lived offense there.
Yes. Oh, tag to Scott. All right, just kill him. I warmed him up, now snap his neck.
Was it ever talked about why Rick Steiner had one shorter boot than the other?
Because he's Rick Steiner,
I guess.
Oh man,
very nice double on his shoulder.
Yeah, dropped it on his shoulder.
Well, Rick Steiner. Today I was watching Chi-Town Rumble when he was the TV champion. He lost to Mike Rotundo. And even when he first was a singles guy, before Scott was even in the picture, he wore two different boots.
Very odd.
So this wasn't just like
that's a tag. The Steiners win with the Bulldog off the tops. Scott had Bobby Hoo up on his shoulders, and Rick hit the Bulldog. So no Frankensteiner tonight, sadly. We don't get to see anyone decapitated.
All right. Well, he almost killed him with a suplex anyway. So.
Jeez, that was a little... ghoulish
looking. That Oscar?
Woman.
Looked like Wednesday Adams in the crowd.
That guy looked like Oscar. And then the next one was somebody looked like Oscar from Men on a Mission. Very interesting. Maybe they hey, Vladimir, there you go. See that guy right there?
Yeah,
like Oscar.
Pimp a Hornet's hat. All right. Is this our first WrestleMania report? Or do we have one last? I don't think
we
had one. Right?
I think this is our first WrestleMania 9 update. Here we go, guys.
Very exciting. Roger, I've been getting ready. About a couple months away from watching this show as part of your classroom.
Hey, I mean, and all the good things I've heard about WrestleMania 9, I can't wait.
Yes, episode number something or other really did the job. So,
so was of the 90s years, is 93 the peak of like neon colors? Because I feel like everything they have has some kind of neon flavor to it.
Well, when did I would say yeah, because by like 90, well, I don't know, 95, 96, like in the NBA, like the Spurs had their cut like colorful. Hmm. Like warm-up outfits and stuff. I would say like by 97, I think neon faded.
In 95, 97, I mean, that's like Tupac era. That's not the neon era. This is, you know, Kid and Play. That's your neon era, right? So that's about now. New Jack City, maybe the end of it. No, not to use all hip-hop references, but that is where we get our fashion
by nature.
From.
That's how Roger remembers dates.
Young MC. Young MC.
No. What year was that? It was the year Easy E died. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
There we go.
Bret Hart and Yokozuna.
Match number one. Yeah.
Obviously, this one was known since Yoko won the Rumble, became number one contender.
Is I believe Bret Hart's birthday is today, or was it yesterday?
It's today.
It is today. Happy birthday, champ.
Your birthday to the WWF champion.
We have a special reposting of the podcast that was done, tribute to him wrestling with the past. The boys had done a full Bret Hart episode a while back, and that's on here.
And then we go from that.
Uh-oh. Yes.
Good grief.
Some guy taking on The Undertaker.
Yeah. Who's that guy?
Yeah. Argentinian sensation.
He was a former gigolo.
Of course, that was stemmed from his attack at the Royal Rumble that we saw. Crushed. Not a very inspiring first three here.
The Crush Doink match, I think I'm going to be interested in after watching.
I love the angry face on the flower. I never really noticed that.
Yeah.
The angry face on the flower. I never caught that before. Well, guys, three matches. We already got three matches set, and, you know, we still got, what, 7 weeks?
Yeah.
So, there we go. Good build so far.
I'm intrigued if there will be any changes to the card at all during the, you know, usually they'll announce matches and there'll be changes if injuries come or just rebooking and. Obviously, those three matches will be on the card.
Right.
Right.
I know there's at least one they announced that doesn't happen. I don't know if there's any changes to this one. We'll see. It'll be interesting, like you said, Steve. And speaking of our challenger, looks like he's going to be making his way out momentarily as the geisha girls are in the ring with the flowers.
What a manager.
Look at him. Look at all the inspiration he's delving out as he comes down.
He looked thoroughly disgusted with having to do that right now.
Just kind of waddling side to side. Yeah, just waddling.
I think Yoko looks bigger than the last we saw.
Whoa, Ross Greenberg with
look at that rat tail. I don't know, guys.
There you go.
Is that our leader in the clubhouse for mullet?
I think so. Just for simple.
Yeah, that's a good one right there.
That's something.
I don't know if he beats the one I saw at dinner tonight. This guy had to be about four bills, and he had a legit rat tail. Just like legit.
Excellent.
And he had a flat top with that too?
Yeah.
That's a good combo.
I don't know if
I don't know, Willie. That's a pretty good combo.
Yeah, it is. Flat top.
Flat top, rat tail. Flat tail.
Flat tail.
Better than rat top. Yeah. Rat top sounds like an NWA gimmick, like the Ding Dongs. The Ding Dongs and Rat Top.
Fuji wearing his shower sandals so he doesn't get athlete's foot.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Surprise the Manhattan Center, I would too.
I'm surprised you brought up Rat Top, Scott, since that's what you usually call Jordan behind his back.
No, that's what I usually introduce him as on the main event when he's paying attention and not watching Big Brother.
It's on right now, by the way.
Yeah, there you go, Rat Top.
So you guys like Yoko Zuner in this one, or
I don't know. Rat Top.
I don't know. Ross looks like he's hungry for a victory. Here.
Yes.
Oh God.
Steve is a guy wearing pink. Savage pink? Still having issues with the mic.
Yeah, and it looks like there's actually someone out there by the table, so it might be a legitimate issue.
You know what else is interesting to notice is like the ring apron doesn't have logos. It just looks like a pool cover. You know, it's just solid blue. Yes.
What do you guys think? Colors, guys. We're two matches in, and two guys were wearing pink. Pink, a prevalent color this evening.
What do you guys think of that camera angle from behind?
I kind of like that. I was going to say that looks pretty. That's pretty impressive look.
Mm-hmm. If they do it now, we're in trouble. But before that, it wasn't bad when he was standing upright. All right, goodbye, Rat Top. There you go. You're done.
Can't breathe.
That guy with the belt. There he is again. Jordan, I can't help it. My eyes are trained on that guy.
They're awesome, man.
Man, where's he selling those?
There's a couple guys with him, but Yokozuna's blocking one of them.
Yes, I saw the other guy. There's a guy about like three guys next to him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, see, there's that guy. That looks like the Intercontinental title. I'd have killed for an Intercontinental.
It amazes me that there was a time in our society that people actually walked around with haircuts like Ross Greenberg has right now.
What is Ross doing here?
I don't know. He's quivering.
He's doing like the Hulk Hogan earthquake quiver.
He's really selling that leg drop. Ah, you hurt my head!
You hurt my head!
Ross could have been something. His only weakness was that if you hit him once, he's done.
Look at those stiff chops.
Here we go. Yoko gaining some steam.
Uh-oh.
It squashes Ross.
Big Mojo Riley avalanche there.
Oof.
That was a stiff one. He usually just kind of pushes the guy. He just like punched him in the throat.
He's probably upset that Ross was like stuttering around like an oaf there.
Well, let's see how hard he slams down on him here. Oh, he got him pretty good.
Yeah.
And there you go.
I mean, people have always said that they never felt it or it didn't really hurt. I don't know how. I mean, there was somewhere it looks like he just really squashed. Like, even right there,
he's just sitting on him.
Yeah. I'm really shocked no one ever died from wrestling Yokozuna. So a couple of quick matches here early on before we get to the two big ones on the night.
Fuji's waving the hell out of that flag.
Jerking it back and forth.
Rusev would be proud.
Yes. No one grips the flag like Rusev.
See that hyper orange Broncos sweatshirt?
Yeah.
I was about to say, look at that, and that's back when the Broncos were not like the best, like the hot AFC team. Clearly we're in the Bills era for AFC teams, and look at that guy proudly displaying his Broncos sweatshirt there.
Now this whole stuff with Randy Savage and the microphone is done in post production because Rob Bartlett was drinking a cup of coffee as he was talking.
Yeah, well, definitely as well.
JR, did you have that copy? Did you have that posters book right there?
I think I did. Yeah, pretty sure those were.
Is that probably where Doink and Brett came from?
Adorning the walls. No, I think that might have been the next year's.
Oh, okay.
Papa Shango in the back on all the screens.
I know. When did they tape this event report? Like 2 years earlier?
I know, right?
I forgot that.
Well, he was still around, wasn't he?
Who, Lord Alfred? No, or Papa Shango?
93, January.
Oh, look at this combo. Yeah, they're not as good as Rusev, either of them.
Scott and Justin must love this right here. Two favorites.
No, yes. Could they poke each other in the heads?
So the special report takes us back to Superstars, where Duggan and Yoko had their big, well-built-up match. If you remember, one of our previous Raws, Duggan called in during a Yoko match, and they set this thing up. And the whole thing was, could Duggan knock him down? That was the build to it. No one had taken him off his feet yet, and
I remember I thought he was going to do it as a kid. I really thought he was going to knock him down.
Well, as you see there, he gave him one football tackle for the first shot. Yoko maintained his balance. Because Yoko actually did fall down at the Rumble, but he caused it himself. He collided with the turnbuckle and fell backwards. So Duggan ducks a clothesline, and Yoko doing the wobble. Ooh. And he is down, Jordan.
Yep.
Duggan did do it. He knocked Yoko. First man to knock Yokozuna off his feet.
Once again, got to put the guy over. Good Christ.
Crowd acting like they just won the Super Bowl, the Wimbledon, and the NBA championship.
Do you think it was a waste? I know Scott's joking about it, but do you guys think it was an odd decision to have Duggan do it? I know it fit Duggan's character, but just knowing he wasn't really in the plans going forward, he hadn't really done much in a while now. Do you think he was an odd choice to be the first man to knock Yoko down?
I'm not answering. Leave it to you three.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of who else they could have done it. And I can't really... Nobody jumps to mind because they didn't have a lot of big muscular baby faces. Maybe one of the Steiners. Maybe the Steiners together.
Right. That could have been cool.
You know, that would be... Yeah.
And they could have put that over as it took two guys, you know?
Yeah.
There you go. Come on, Yoko. Duggan land awkwardly and break something.
Looks like he's got a bunch of...
Oh, man. He didn't even touch him.
Yeah, that's pretty soft.
Oh, God.
Now they got the flag draped over him like Apollo.
The best part was when Duggan was celebrating a couple seconds ago and they were showing the crowd, there was a kid in the front row desperately pointing behind him trying to get Hacksaw to turn around.
You could tell
his eyes were turned around, but his head wasn't, so there you go.
You could tell that...
yeah, there's a Slaughter.
Yeah, Sarge.
In the Rene Goulet role.
You could tell Yoko doesn't give a shit about jobbers because he just flat flops on them, like you said. He was really careful to protect Duggan here.
Yes, because, you know, he needed protection.
And this would take Duggan out for a while. He misses Mania. I think it's the first time he missed Mania since he's been around. Well, I guess 7 he commentated, right? He didn't wrestle, but...
But he was there, though.
Yeah.
So, Scott, not a big fan of Duggan. I'm taking it.
Oh. There's plenty of podcasts to catch up on, Cowboy. You'll learn, you'll learn soon enough. Plenty of... Although, I will say this, and if you read... obviously, if you read Mr. McGinn's and my... Legends House Journey on PlaceToBeNation.com. I softened on him as a person because I thought he was a great guy on the show. I still can't stand his character, but I softened on him as an actual person. I don't really hate him as a guy. I still don't like his gimmick, but
it's a start.
It's a start. I'm getting there. But I think it stops here. Look at that drunk guy in the back holding up with a V-neck sweater. Hey, where am I?
The tracksuit to the right of him is pretty awesome.
I don't know, guys. That might be best 90s right there.
That might be most 90s, yeah.
Oh, the girl.
Oh, or her.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yikes. What the hell is she wearing?
That's most 90s of the first 5 episodes right there, that couple.
Yes, that couple. Meanwhile, the other guy's hammer looks like Josh, actually.
Oh, that's stupid.
Oh, good God. Wow. It's a work rate episode of Raw tonight.
Oh, look at these guys. Oh, this is Louis Spicoli.
Yeah, this is Spicoli.
I think this was Giant Gonzalez's first official match. Spicoli may have those tights and that hair.
Now, they stated before they went to this video package that...
well, that's a mullet, too. Sorry, Steve.
That Gonzalez wanted to enter the Battle Royal, but everyone said that they wouldn't enter if he was in it.
I wouldn't either. Look at this guy. He's got fur on him. Scott, our 90s woman, I thought, looked like our friend Evad's wife.
Yes. Yeah. She probably is Swiss, too.
No,
this is a very rare outfit, though. I don't remember him having that much fur. It's like all over the place.
Well, it was winter.
It was winter, yeah.
He asked Vladimir which outfit to wear this week.
Yes.
He's like, mullet, though.
Vladimir, are you wearing your sweatshirt? I shall wear my Harrier suit.
Dude, look at those terrible boots. That is a pretty big mullet, though.
Go, get out!
Why did they wait that long?
Steve Willie's going to do some counseling. Come on.
Come on, man. Look how big he is. Get
how did being with El Gigante make you feel? I can see you asking that, Willie. Were you intimidated by him?
That. Never use that question.
He's got real ab definition.
Yep. Such shape, as Whippleman's pointing out.
Kimmy Gibbler from Full House.
Very stunned. I like how Harvey cleaned up for this run here. He dumped the doctor's outfit and everything else. He just got a little tight mustache and suit now. 16-man battle royal. Do you think that's because they didn't have enough for 20?
They had just enough for over 15.
Yeah, like, why not do 15?
Yeah, why don't they just leave one guy? Let's see, this one guy that didn't have to be in it.
I want to see the 16 that are in this match and what guy they could not leave off.
Was that a famous person, that guy with the kid?
No, it was just...
just the guy.
It's a happy fan.
Brett works out with the belt.
The Hasbro figure.
I'm assuming, JR, you owned all of these?
Yeah, these were always way outdated, though. That was like 1991's batch of figures right there with Slaughter, or 92. I think.
Can't. I probably said it in the last episode. I just can't look at Slim Jim ads and not get emotional. It's not the same.
Oh, we're not going to go through the Slim Jim contents again?
No.
Oh, wow. Everybody's hitting the ring at once.
Yeah.
Is this a reverse battle royal?
It's TNA.
All right, so let's look at the guys in here.
Kim Chi.
Taser. Sean Backlund.
We could have left Kim Chi out.
Coco. Definitely Kim Chi. No need for Kim Chi to be there.
Terrific Terry Taylor. We got
Iron Mike Sharp.
Yep.
Yeah, they had Mike Sharp in this thing.
Skinner.
Aaron George requested Mike Sharp.
Yep, Skinner's in there, Roger.
Kim Chi's already out.
Did we say Damian Demento?
Yep, he's battling Tugboat in the back there. Owen.
Typhoon, Bobby Heenan.
I mean Typhoon.
Yes.
Owen, Tito Santana.
All right, I think I'm going to say Mike Sharp could have been left out and made it 15 to keep it even.
Yeah.
Tito with the rare black alternate El Matador tights.
Yeah, he threw me off for a minute. I didn't realize. I thought he was a jobber.
Steve, are the announcers selling that the Berserker would be tailor-made to win this match because he would always throw guys over the top rope? That was his thing, right? He'd always win by count out?
Yep.
JR, I'm sure you remember who actually won this.
They mentioned that in the Rumble.
Okay.
Why don't we get a consensus of who wins this? Let's go around the horn. Who do you think wins this battle royal?
Let's go with Sean for me.
I'll say Razor.
That's a good choice.
Who do you think, Raj?
I would say Shawn Michaels. I have no idea who won it.
Is Tatanka still undefeated at this point?
He is, yes.
Yes. I don't think Battle Royals count, though.
No, they don't. But that might make me change.
I say Typhoon.
Jordan learned that the hard way today, that Battle Royals don't count in records.
Yes. I say Typhoon.
You think Typhoon wins this?
Yeah, I do.
Interesting choice.
I think he's, you know, nice.
Terrific Terry Taylor. I like those tights.
I do like those. I don't remember those tights.
The funny thing is, I read the results of the show just earlier today, and I don't even remember who wins this match.
Kamala's my dark horse.
Someone else would, you know.
I like Coco and Sean going at it.
Yeah, Coco wants to dump Sean out right there.
Yes. It's a good feud. I like the red tights Coco has on. Those are very.
I do too, actually. I like the red. I like the red too.
I was like when Coco would get some offense in and he'd hike his pants up to his nipples.
Yes. Need a lot of room to move around.
Yes.
Yep.
Skinner's got a very vibrant shirt as well.
He looks terrible.
Here goes Coco.
And Sean eliminates Coco, igniting their feud.
Kim Chi laying in some stiff chops on Typhoon.
Kim Chi was out on the floor just a second
ago.
Now,
would Kim Chi be? Now, you know, you talk about Iron Mike Sharp, but at least he's like a legit competitor.
Well, Kim Chi was, they were doing the breakup thing with Kamala, so that's
what. Okay, that's true. That's true. Damian Demento.
He was on the floor, Jordan, but he had, I think he went out under the bottom or middle ropes.
Okay. Any idea who Kim Chi was here? Right.
It's got to be Lombardi, I think.
Lombardi, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it's Lombardi. You can tell by the way he's moving around. He moves around like Brooklyn Brawler.
He's got a tell. He's got that brawler tell.
Yes.
Not a bad battle royal, considering who's in it.
Mm.
Do you think that Chad looked at the results and came up with quote-unquote business for his why not to be on
tonight? I can't make it tonight. Call Duncan. Because he's mad at me.
He doesn't get to talk enough on the main event.
So that's an understatement. Razor in his trademark purple tonight. I liked his red tights too. He didn't wear those that often.
Mm.
Those were like his heel tights. Those would fade. Those would go away after a while, right? JR, we always talk about the Razor's accoutrements.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't wear red a lot once he turned babyface, right? He stuck with like purple, green,
yellow,
banana yellow. Yeah. The red was. He wore red at the Rumble, right?
He did. I don't remember much other than that.
Yeah.
Did he ever have black?
Yes.
Yes.
Black was one of his main ones.
Yeah.
White was the one I always thought he'd look cool in that he never did.
Mm, he would look very slick in white. I agree.
I wonder why Berserker didn't get more of a... Oh, I don't know the name, obviously, but more of a push. I mean, he kind of stands out in this match.
Yeah.
Much bigger, much taller. Kind of an intimidating presence.
Mm.
Yeah, after that little first feud with The Undertaker, where he tried to stab him with the sword, he never really did much else during that run.
Steve, is Oleg the Usurper draw inspiration from the Berserker?
I think he should. I think he does.
Because he does kind of copy him.
Yeah, he had the... What's that chest plate called that he wears, too?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it's called.
What is Skinner doing?
What the hell is Skinner doing?
He that just was the worst clothesline of all time right there.
His inner fabulous ones.
Typhoon right, basically Typhoon. Touched him in the shoulder and knocked him off the top rope.
All right, Typhoon, keep knocking guys out.
Steve Kern basically did a handspring out of the ring up for that week.
It was awful. Not a very good performance for Skinner.
Oh, Damien Demento's gone.
By Kamala. There's a lot of beef in this match. Not just like small guys, but a lot of big guys.
Damn, I'm digging this battle royal. For who's in it, if you looked at this roster, you wouldn't think it would be as entertaining as it is.
Is there like any reason for it? Like, does the winner get a match against anyone specific? Or
no, I think it was just a
just there.
Battle Royal.
Big Jugabico Pro.
Cool.
Just a big Jugabico Pro.
Well, though, I mean, in the era before, lots of gimmick matches. Like, this was kind of the gimmick, right? Outside of like a cage.
Oh, yeah, everyone worked twice.
Oh, Owen's down.
And Berserker, that bum.
Well, Tito, he's not going to eliminate Berserker.
Oh,
whoa, did he just nutshot him? Wow. That was impressive by John Nord.
What a nasty jerk. You still feeling Sean, Roger?
Yep. Or Kamala. I really like Kamala.
Sean hasn't really been featured much in this. I feel like we've barely seen him.
Yeah, he's just kind of hiding out in the corners.
He eliminated Coco. That was a big spot there.
You go, reignited the WrestleMania 8 feud.
That's right. I was about to say, yeah, there you go.
You mean every so often with one of these matches, a lot of guys are in it. Someone kind of hangs around, doesn't do much, and then wins at the
Roger.
End.
Roger.
Yes, there that can happen.
Kamala just eliminated the Berserker. There you go, Raj.
Big reversed Elvis thrust kick, knocks him out.
Big boys are the ones getting out of here.
Pretty decent crowd. Backlund, as we saw as a veteran of these matches, did very well at the Rumble in January. Now he's hanging in here towards the end.
He's a cockroach, that Backlund.
Still has the early 80s mop top.
Yes.
Typhoon has some of the worst punches and shots.
Very soft.
That piece of shit Kim Chi just eliminated Kamala.
I think Roger's ahead of us here. He's
I was going to say. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Thanks a lot.
Sorry, guys.
Roger, why don't you pause for like 2 seconds and then start again?
All right. Sorry. Kim.
Rick Ross getting back into the ring.
Wow, that was a he crushed him with that chop when he came back in.
Okay,
and now he tosses Kim Chi.
All right,
Roger, you can unpause it now.
Yeah, I got Kamala chasing Kim Chi into the crowd.
I think he's still ahead of us a little bit. Now he's getting in the crowd. Kamala just scaled the.
Perfect. We're right on. Okay. We're right on point, guys.
All right, there he goes.
Look at that slick 90210 sweatshirt. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's there's our 90s with that hair and that sweatshirt. That's my pick.
I agree.
A pink 90210 logo sweatshirt. I think when you said Slick Scott, I thought you were referencing Reverend Slick, who's out there trying to stop Kamala.
Yeah,
pretty awesome. Kamala's climbing on the chairs and everything.
Yeah, this would
is that Slick right there, today. Or is that one of the ushers?
No, Slick was with him. Yeah,
Slick was there before they hopped the rail. Yeah.
Oh, where's we going now?
He's chasing him. This Slick right there.
JR, isn't that where you took the picture with those guys at the Ring of Honor show?
Oh, Pollock and Ting there. I think
Pollock, yeah.
So our last pull apart brawl we had was Ric Flair and Kurt Hennig. Now we have Kamala and Kim Chi literally knocking people out.
Like, that's this one was, I think, yeah, this one was hotter, I think.
Yeah. Stepping up.
Down to 2, 4, 6, 7 guys, it looks like.
Yeah, we took a break. I don't know if anyone got chucked during the break.
There goes Kim Chi.
How do you keep getting ahead of us?
They're up in the balcony.
Kamala is winded.
Oh, yeah, he's gone.
It'd be funny if Slick was carrying him on his back.
I love that it's just a giant spotlight on him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this battle royale. I don't care what anyone says. This is a lot of fun.
It's fun.
There you go. Yeah. Come on, Typhoon.
Uh-oh.
Keep gut-busting Sean there.
Uh-oh.
This isn't going to
end five
well.
Guys in the ring here.
A little
ugly.
Final up. Good final four, too. I mean, as expected. You got Sean and Razor.
Maybe this starts the... Maybe Tatanka does them this and kind of starts
all
that going.
Three.
Yeah, where did Backlund go?
He must have got eliminated.
He and Terry Taylor time. Both out, too.
Oh, yeah, Terry Taylor. Backlund was there, though, when he came back from break, so he must have went when Typhoon was going out. He must have gotten chucked the other way.
Well, probably Razor, because didn't Razor end up against him?
Yeah, I can read right here with... on Graham. Actually, he doesn't have it either, so must be completely missed.
Off camera, yeah.
Sean and Razor acting like they're like flip friends off camera. You think they are?
Nah.
You think that was where they formed the clique? That's what I heard.
We're getting...
In this match.
Let's form a group and get all the power. Okay. Kind of squaring off here, heel face. And Tatanka Sean, you got to keep this one in mind. It's coming over the next few weeks. They pair off, and Razor and Tito. Nice little push for Tito here in his closing days in the company. I hear Savage on Steve Willis TV, so does that mean he's been okay?
Yeah, that's... Oh, man, he's all right. There's a non-title match this weekend on Superstars, guys.
Oh, who is it?
Sean and Tatanka, I think they said.
Oh, okay, big one. So setting that up nicely here.
Yeah, I don't even have my volume on that loud. He was screaming.
Yeah.
Well, I can hear it pretty clearly now, so someone has it up.
Yeah, me too. Either that or we're just enthralled in the match.
So I can imagine the commentary. Sean is teetering on the ropes here. So, Scott, your pick is out. Ooh. Do you want to update?
Uh-oh. Tito hits the five arm.
Flying burrito.
Oh, he's going after Sean, but he got poked in the eye, I think.
Oh, nice drop kick from Sean. Standing drop kick in the mush. So we have what? Jordan picked Razor. Roger and Steve picked Sean. Scott, who's your new pick?
I'm going to say Tatanka.
Okay. Tito really on fire here. Taking it to Sean. It's too bad he was on his last days. Like, I feel like he still could have been pretty good in the mid-card in 93, 94 when they were lacking some guys like him.
Yeah, they could have used him.
Yeah, he looks fine.
Yeah,
they could have used him on this show, on the weekend stuff. Yeah, definitely.
Sean's going crazy. Ooh, almost fell right on his neck there.
You don't see a lot of face double-teaming a heel like in these kind of matches. It was kind of unique to see them beating the crap out of Sean together, trying to eliminate him.
Yep, there he goes.
Wow, Sean doesn't even make the final four.
Tatanka, come on, Razor.
Tatanka and Tito kick him off the top rope to the floor, and a Razor left against two faces. Again, kind of against how they usually do things.
Yeah, it's a weird setup there.
Those poor El Matador boots. Tito can never keep the pink thing up. I feel like every match one always stirrup
like the stirrup.
Always falls. Yeah.
It's like that stretch in 99 when Kane's Velcro would always come off his boot for like 2 years.
This is for
ruining a perfectly good match.
That's what this guy does.
He looks pinker than usual, too.
He does look pink. He's a little bit more sun. And, of course, we're referencing Giant Gonzalez. Razor bails to the floor out of the rope, and Gonzalez going to work here on Tatanka and Tito Santana. Chucks Tatanka.
How is this legal?
He can do whatever he wants. I mean, he was supposed to be in the Battle Royal, so is he technically entered? Because remember, they just didn't want him.
Yeah.
They just said
But then it would have been a very badly mis put together 17-man Battle Royal. Looks like the guy
he
who washes...
fell down just standing there.
Looks like the guy's washing the wrestler's outfits overwashed this one. It's like totally faded.
Yeah, stash on Harvey.
Nice stash, Harvey.
With your gear on.
My wrestling historians, experts, is this guy the worst wrestler in the history of the company? Considering he's given such a big spot and he's just so bad.
Yeah, given like what he might be.
Yeah, he's up there.
Consider the push.
Bad that we're bad talking him and he's not even here.
Maybe someday he'll return.
Oh, so did Razor win?
Razor wins, Jordan.
While we were talking, Gigante walked over the top rope to leave the ring, so Razor Ramon is the winner.
That's a good.
Oh, he didn't throw Razor over the top.
Right, he went under the bottom.
Excellent.
That's a cool little, nice little heel, you know, sneaky win for Razor.
Yeah, nice. Instead of the typical, you know, dump one and cheat. Not bad.
Yeah. So, what do we think of that Battle Royale? I enjoyed it greatly.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Yes, it was very enjoyable.
Right up until that big goof got in there, it was great.
Yeah. But even that ended up with at least a clever finish.
Right. At least he didn't win. That's true.
Steve, as a jacket aficionado, what do you think of this Jimmy Hart gold one?
My long-standing history of a jacket aficionado. I do remember, it looks like he got it from RVD's.
I was about to say the same thing.
Airbrushed gold coins.
We all need to be specialists in something on the show, so you're going to be our jacket guy going forward.
Sounds
jacket
good.
Aficionado.
I'll have to find something for Jordan, because I'm just assuming Chad's never coming back.
I could do tuxedo bibs.
Tuxedo bibs.
Is that a piano tie?
That's awesome.
Because I like that for Jimmy Hart, the piano tie.
I like DiBiase's really milk and take it off that bib.
Yeah.
I gotta take this off for Jordan Duncan.
Oh, thanks, brother. Danny DeVito. Yeah. Danny DeVito, cross between him and the Dunkin' Donuts guy from the 80s.
Yes. Yeah, or the Micro Machine guy.
Yes.
All right, Brutus Beefcake's first match since, what, June of 1990?
Wow.
Mm. Now, how were the WWF's finances in 93? Were they, like, still post-steroid problems?
Yeah, I don't think they were great.
Because Beefcake is wearing the exact same tights as our old buddy Ross Greenberg right now.
Is he?
Like, two-for-one deal, looks like. Just a little,
Or one-for-one deal.
The mesh is pink.
Could have been a one-for-one deal.
Yeah, the tights on top are the same, just the mesh underneath are a different color.
Yeah. Could have just changed them in the back.
Wrestling sleaze file for Kevin Kelly show. Ross Greenberg, Brutus Beefcake relationship.
Same tights. Nothing beats Kevin immediately knowing the story of the Rock and Roll Express and Jimmy Valiant on the glass
that
table.
That's
true.
Absolutely disgusting.
He's like, yeah, I've heard that one before. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess it's real.
Finish strong, Valiant.
He didn't even pay anything, I don't think.
Ted's looking a little soft here.
He is. You can tell he's probably hurting a bit.
Yep.
Beefcake is also a little soft himself.
Yeah.
Was everyone just coming off the gas? Is that why at this point?
Seems like it. I mean,
we haven't really had too many roided up guys.
I think Tito looked better than either one of them.
Yeah, Tito definitely did. Have the Steiners just been the most juiced up we've seen?
Yeah, they looked pretty. They look pretty geeked.
Razor too, but he wasn't thick. You know, he's just kind of a big and tall.
Right.
What about Tatanka?
Yeah, he was pretty.
Yeah,
big.
Yeah, Tatanka.
Well, I guess on the reservation, the steroids are legal, right? Scott's our Native American aficionado. Scott, yes. How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm sure they got them from, you know, sordid places.
What's the drug usage like on the reservations?
Yeah.
Now, Steve, can you hear the crowd? Are they excited about Brutus Beefcake being back?
I don't hear
they
any
don't
death
look
threats.
Like they are.
I don't hear any death threats currently.
Oh, that's good. Well, this is the same night, same crowd. This is promo, so they probably have been beefcaked out by this point.
No, Jimmy Hart is really trying to get over the fact that you have to be careful of Beefcake because he's very fast and quick. Jimmy Hart has the managerial skills of Mr. Fuji, evidently. Never thought.
Do you think he's overdoing this, Steve? Because you're hearing the most of it. Is he going over the top with transparently how he's handling this whole thing?
Yeah, he's very anxious over this, and they keep putting the camera on. He's so quick. You really have to be careful. You really have to watch out.
He's so quick.
Yeah, the rest of the 3 years, and he was slow before then, but he's fast now.
I think this is an era, too, where a lot of the guys that were coming up weren't used to TV every week. You know, they were used to performing for live crowds, so he did have to be loud and obnoxious. And when there's a camera 2 inches from your face, you don't have to repeat it 40 times.
Right, right.
Yeah, these guys are kind of learning that. Quick punches from Brutus Beefcake.
Yes.
Earlier, Vince was putting over all the steel plates and...
Beefcake does look like Grease Lightning in there.
Yes. So now we got to go to the mullet count. Do we like Beefcakes, or is was it Bobby Who? Was he our?
I like Beefcake's mullet, but no, I think was, you got to go with the
no. It's Ross
top
Greenberg.
So
it was
Ross Greenberg. Yeah,
mullet top. Top
mullet.
Rat top. Yeah.
Wow, he overtakes Beefcakes. Beefcake was our winner last week.
Well, it's because it's the same mullet as we saw last week. So.
So it was a weak crop last week.
Yeah,
it was Beefcake so winning anything. I think is winning by default. You know, just,
yeah. That is the Roger line of this series so far. Anything he wins. So if he wins this, it's by default. Well,
he's been dominating this match.
He's you know, he benefits from a lack of options.
Yeah. IRS is pretty jacked too.
We're here.
We're here. Boy, that guy standing up there, he's jacked.
They're really making Beefcake to look out like a pretty serious threat here with having IRS come out. Jimmy's nervous. They really make it like he was.
And Ted has got no offense in yet either, really.
It's because Beefcake looks so weak that they feel like they really, really have to sell it. You know, so...
The IRS has the Halliburton with him, too, and he's kind of telegraphing that he's going
to
use it.
I know, you can see him keep trying to start to pick it up and then putting it back down.
Yeah.
And here we go.
Right in the view of the ref.
Yeah. DQ? Looks like it.
Yeah, no, he went for that. Yeah, he called it.
So DBS got zero offense in before that.
Yeah, he didn't get one move.
No.
Both of these guys, neither of them look too good here, to be honest.
No, they look like
I don't remember DiBiase being this bad at this point, but I guess...
They look cooked. They look like they just don't give a shit.
Well, this is the second part of a taping, too?
Yes.
Yes,
this is the
absolutely.
Part,
yeah. So match of the night is... I guess you got to count the Battle Royal because it was the only decent one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this match
especially like the Steiners throwing people around, but that Battle Royal was fun.
I mean, I'm not even being facetious. This is a pretty quick Raw. I know it's like even only 46 minutes or whatever, but I thought it was
like
really
15.
Fast. Yeah. It really moved by quick.
Uh-oh.
So DiBiase's picking up.
They're going to hit him right in the head.
Jordan Duncan's become our Susan St. James of this podcast. Oh, no.
Hey, how much does that briefcase weigh?
Oh, no.
Oh, Irwin.
Watch out. Oh, no, Brutus. Oh, no. So DiBiase has Beefcake up. IRS wants to hit him with the beefcase, but Jimmy Hart will not let him. He's
the briefcase loaded with beef.
He's been through too much.
Loaded with Mickey James. And now there goes Jimmy, chucked to the floor by IRS with his Steve Willie jacket on.
I can use that jacket.
And there it is. IRS paced Beefcake in the face.
No, if he has steel plates in his face, why would that bother him?
He should have used a magnet instead.
Yeah.
Well, you know that metal on metal, guys.
Jimmy attending to Brutus Beefcake.
A lot of empathy from Jimmy Hart for the, you know, after being a real prick since 1985.
For a decade, yeah.
He didn't care about Bobby Who, though. He didn't come out to check on him.
No, he did not. He got a lot worse of a beating than Beefcake did. Beefcake got like one move in on him. DiBiase wants in on the fun. Jimmy really aggressive here. DiBiase he must have been hurt. I know he was.
Yeah, even just walking around, he's moving slow.
Yeah. I mean, I know by the end of the year, he's going to wrap it up because he's hurt, but he must have been starting here already. It's clear he's not. He's not the DiBiase we know.
Mm.
I just thought it was very strange. I agree. Like, trying to assume all of a sudden that Jimmy Hart's showing some kind of sympathy, I mean, it's really very different, you know?
Yeah, where did this come from?
He had a soft spot for Beefcake, just like Beefcake has soft spots all over.
Metal hitting metal.
Vince McMahon's it looks like he's holding his face together.
That would be awesome if his face literally just broke apart.
Like Bobby used to say all those years. Give me a face off.
Oh, they got the stretcher out.
It looks more like a camp cot.
Yeah.
Looks like where Roger slept down in Pittsburgh.
It really is a low-budget stretcher.
I know, right? It's just...
I mean, slept is a strong word considering the, you know, the dragon that was in the room with me.
Yes. The 1 week I really needed sleep, I got none. Yes, go ahead.
Are you surprised he's not bleeding all over creation right here if his face is exploded?
No, except the metal is broke inside, so nothing's protruded through the skin.
It's a lot of internal bleeding of the face.
Yes.
Oh, they're showing us a big pile
some
of
blood there. So did they literally just like squirt some fake blood on the mat? Just to
it looks purple. There was it looks like Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
it does.
It's like ketchup.
It's an odd choice. Get a slow-mo replay. So what do we like for a final grade on the show, guys? I'll start you, Jordan.
We
go
to
out
10,
of 10,
right?
Yep.
Well, you know, I mean, it was fun. There was nothing like really memorable, but nothing offensive. So I'd say I'll be generous. Go 7.5.
Mr. Willie?
6.5, I'd say.
Roger?
I'm going to say 5.5 just because it featured some guys I'm not that into.
Scott.
I like when Scott Steiner dumped Glenn Ruth on his head. That was fun.
Yeah,
that was a good move.
That was good.
I'm going to say a 7. I thought the nice Islander jacket there. I'll say a 7. I like the...
is the original Heat bandwagon fan right there.
Yeah, look at that, huh? And they were terrible.
All right, so you said 7. I'll go a hard 7, too. So that puts us right around a 6.5-7, right, overall grade. So.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing standout bad about it except, you know, the last match, but that even that was only, what, 2-3 minutes,
yeah.
Seemed like. It moved really fast, so.
Did we need Chad here to do the math. So what do we have, 7.5, a couple 7s?
2 7s.
6.5.
No, 5.5.
7 divided by 4, that was 6.75.
Okay, so mark it down, Scott.
Call it a 7. Are we going to do 6.75?
I'd call it a 7. It seems like Cowboy was an outlier there.
Let's go 7.
Just pretend I'm not here.
We do anyway.
Perfect.
All right.
And that's what we're going to do right now is we take a break. And
we still got to vote the other things. 90s.
Oh, that's right. All right, 90s. I think it was definitely my vote's for the 90210 sweatshirt guy.
Tracks,
yeah, I agree.
Not the track suits. I vote for the track
I
got to
say the couple. Yeah.
All right, that's 2-1.
2-2.
2-2. 2-1.
You don't have to actually act like I'm not here, Scott.
maybe I was ignoring Jordan, Roger. What, do you have a complex?
All right, Willie, what are you picking?
You say you have a complex, huh? I'll take the tracksuit.
Scott,
yes! Scott, you need to at least mark down the 90210 sweatshirt.
Well, you do realize, JR, this is our show, so I'm just putting 90210 anyway. So
that's fine. I didn't see the 90210 shirt. So.
The best part about the 90210 is that the guy that was wearing it looked like the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, too.
It made zero sense that was the guy wearing it. That's what
yeah, right?
And we decided that Ross Greenberg wins the mullet.
Yes.
Yeah, not even close.
Mr. Flat Rat there.
Okay. And I don't think any match. I don't think any match came close.
No. And Battle Royals don't
was,
count.
Well, even if it did, it was only 15 minutes. So, all right. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back, and we're going to dive into February 22nd, 1993's episode of Raw.
Because?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
Let me know you in the house.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad,
Do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, George Urbelino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and look at the great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. And a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place Simulation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
To the next episode. Yeah, hold on. They said there was going to be Tatanka and the Nasty Boys against Sean and the Beverlys. Ooh. And then scrolling through, episode 13 has Friar Ferguson right on there. Nice.
Yeah, sorry I got ahead of you guys there. My thing froze in the middle, so I kind of just... I didn't mean to spoil the
broke my heart.
Kamala's big exit from the...
You got your wife put back away?
No, she's going to switch some laundry real quick.
I'm going to grab a drink real quick, too.
Paused on Bartlett.
Alright, yeah. So it's like a fucking buffoon.
What is on his shirt?
Hey. I'm trying to look at that,
it looks
too.
Looks like a robot baby in a diaper.
Looks like he's smoking a cigar. Yeah. It looks like a hot dog with legs.
I don't know what that is.
Roger, what laundry is this that she's doing?
It is our comforter because my stupid dog broke into our bedroom while I was at work today and rolled around on the bed.
That's a cover for D'Amato's, whatever his issues were.
D'Amato wasn't in my bed, Scott.
Sure.
He was in Ryder's bed, Spider-Man bed.
All right, Nation, we are back reviewing two episodes of Raw. We're about to head into February 22nd, 1993. Quickly, just going to tell you about PlaceToBeNation.com. New episode of the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Stephen Graham joined by Ben Morse and Dave Musgrave of Wrestling Culture to chat ECW Barely Legal.
What?
Somebody had to.
Please also visit PlaceToBeNation.com and vote, as we mentioned earlier tonight, in the World Cup of TV characters. We're through Group J. A lot of guys and girls need your votes. We need Coach Eric Taylor for Friday Night Lights. Needs votes, damn it.
Yes.
I voted for him.
Louis C.K. is slipping today. He was leading for a while. Now he's only five ahead of Charlie Harper for the last spot in Group I. Paulie D. got 12 votes somehow in his bracket. Leon needs some votes as well from Curb. But that's a stout bracket there. Looks like Carlton, Red Foreman, and Rose from Golden Girls are going to be moving on.
Red Foreman and Rose.
Sure to check out Glenn Butler's Wednesday Walk around the web, where we weave and wind through the web links every week for amusing, interesting, and occasionally profound stories and articles for you to enjoy. A new episode of the Sports Lounge with the Cowboy and his crew, Jeff Machado, Mr. Flanagan, Keith Schmidt, and Chad Campbell. Looked at the USA's heartbreaking loss yesterday. Talked about UFC 175, the NL Central, and NBA's burgeoning free agency season. New episode of WrestleNomics Radio, Dylan Waco joined Chris Harrington to talk about tertiary companies and much, much more. And of course, Russell Sellers had his new hotness as well. And you can check out all of our Money in the Bank stuff from the weekend, too. We had Matt McCullough's Last Look. We had the live blog. Scott Keith's rant. We had the preview. We had everything else about Money in the Bank. The post-show wrap-up podcast with Will and the boys. So visit us at PlaceToBeNation.com. Get in. Get your votes in. We really want you to participate in that tournament. Make it our most successful to date. And as always, we appreciate your support. PlaceToBeNation. At gmail.com. We also have place number 2BNation on Twitter, facebook.com /placeBNation as well. So visit often, please. All right, boys, are we ready to dive into the February 22nd edition of Raw? We're all paused on Rob Bartlett's robust face.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll count us in. 3, 2. And he is in front of the crowd, a very rabid crowd that has a sign that says Hulk on it, and that's because over the weekend it was heavily intimated that yes, the immortal Hulk Hogan may return here tonight to get some revenge for what happened to his boy Brutus Beefcake last week. Were you guys a fan of them announcing Hogan's return, or do you think it should have been a surprise?
Normally I like surprises, but in this instance, probably wanted some viewers for the show, so I don't think it was that big a deal here.
Yeah, same here.
I agree. I think it made perfect sense.
Rob Bartlett ripped on the.
Where was he coming from?
What is that?
And he's like showing off that shirt.
What is it?
I don't.
It's like an auto body.
Auto body Express. They probably paid him $20 to wear it. So.
Did they pay him $20 to make sure his tight pants were pulled up high enough to suffocate him as well?
Is that a smoking jacket? I was going to say on or a bathrobe. I mean, it's like a combo. The trend
gotta
continues.
Zoom in there, huh?
Yeah. Ring card girls.
HD was not available yet.
Ho definition. Yes, Auto Body Express. There you go. Zooming in tight.
Yeah, that jacket.
They got a Jets jersey back there, Justin.
There you go, JR.
New York.
A little Gastineau action. I think it's Gastineau.
88.
There's a lot of hair. Holy cow!
Wow. You know, she's a big step up, honestly, from what we've from what we've seen. At least she looks like a woman, which is a
can a woman win the mullet award?
Yeah, that's something, Scott.
That's pretty remarkable.
Is this the debut of Bam Bam Bigelow on Raw?
Is your boy, JR?
Has he been on yet?
I don't think so.
He hasn't been on Raw yet, no.
We saw him at the Rumble, defeated the Big Boss Man.
I'm on Raw.
Hey, Scott Taylor.
Hey, Scott Taylor. I got to write that down.
I think he looks like 15, 16 years old. Looks like Stifler.
he's in the running for mullet, too, there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
this is very well made.
Taylor.
Yeah.
It's a pretty boy mullet.
Yeah.
I mean, they really have, like, the dynamic here of, you know, like, Scott Taylor's the guy who's just in jail for one night due to a DUI. You know, they throw him in the cell with Bam Bam. At least that's what I'm getting.
I like the yellow, the dominant yellow Bam Bam tights.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was thinking that, too. They look a little different.
A lot of yellow.
There's no blue. Thanks. Didn't he have blue flames on some tights?
Yeah, a little bit later on, he goes to the blue. Soon after this, he starts doing, like, more red and black. We don't get the yellow cankle covering that he has here. Scotty getting a little out. Offense in, flying clothesline. And then
There's a nice skullet in a, like, a flesh-colored sweater.
Oh, yeah, we got a new crowd to deal with now.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. I believe this one's live. Let's see.
Another guy with a Jets t-shirt on? Yeah, there you go, JR. Two Jet fans.
Well, we're in New York.
Well, where were they before this? They were all Bronco. I think that's where the Bronco guy was sitting.
We should have been more surprised there weren't any before. Yes, we are live, and this is the only episode taped on this night. 1,000 people in the crowd sold out in the Manhattan Center.
Wow. Yeah, it looks like there's a good
crowd. Scotty gets out of a suplex.
He's getting some offense in here on Bammer. Yeah. And there's an electric chair to put Scotty down.
Oof.
Crowd really behind Bam Bam.
Yes, and I think this is the debut of the... I don't think we've seen the guy in the crowd yet that has that Bob Backlund shirt. I don't know if anyone else noticed that. He was standing up a minute ago. He's doing the Arsenio fist.
Oh, there
right
he is.
Now.
Okay, yeah. Red hat?
Nope,
guy with a yellow t-shirt.
African-American gentleman in the yellow t-shirt. Yeah.
Got him. Thank you.
It's
Felt letters, iron letters.
It's like Bob Backlund, awesome. Real World Champion is the shirt. It becomes a mainstay, I believe, in a lot of these tapings.
The crowd's really into Bam Bam, huh?
Yeah. Well, you could tell it's a new, fresh crowd. We don't have that kind of stale feel.
They're not on their third hour. Yeah.
Yeah. Fired
they
up.
They didn't have to endure the beefcake sob story, the downer.
Yes. Very excited.
We should also note who has the best squashes. I mean, it's going to be hard probably to knock out the Steiners, but Bigelow's up there. It was a nice double underhook backbreaker.
There you go. That was a really nice move.
He's got his tag sticking out.
Michael Jordan's got to get him some Hanes tights.
See, I feel like if I was a wrestler and I had to wear the skin tight thing, I'd make sure I just cut the tag off. Like, that would drive me nuts.
Speaking of NBA, JR, you were full Hornets mode at this point in
we never seen that before. Bigelow hit a headbutt off the top and then it stopped and dropped another one.
That was kind of cool. And he's probably gonna do another one now.
Was like kind of like it looked like he was going for a splash with
wow
the
look at that just,
wait that's oh, awesome one.
That might be one of our best squashes, non-Steiner.
Why did he put his crotch right over his face? Why did he just fit him in the direction he was already lying in?
That was a good squash. Three headbutts.
Intense.
Two off the
that
top.
Good.
He's really given that look of the guy who doesn't give a shit about the tag, though, Justin.
It's going to be bothering him.
Maybe that's
I think it's
why
safe
he's
to
so
say,
angry.
Guys, that Bigelow will never win best mullet. Damn it.
He's winning best exposed tag.
But what I was saying, JR, was you were, full Hornets mode at this point, right? Yeah. Winter 93?
Yep.
Vince McMahon just introduced himself as Vince McMahon. He said, let's go to this special interview with Vince McMahon and the Hulkster.
Snakeskin boots, huh?
And this interview, of course, I believe, is the one that was filmed in 92, right, when he was leaving? Or was this a new one, Steve?
No, this has to be a new one. They didn't have, was he wearing Ico Pro in 92? Maybe, I guess it was.
Maybe not. Maybe it is new. I thought it was just a replay of the one from before he left in 92.
Wow, Vince, you're not even close to match.
They did this one right before WrestleMania 8 when he said, you know, win or lose, this may be my last match or whatever.
Yeah, because he still looks like old Hulkster, like beefed up. Looks like it dropped a little of the juice.
Well, there's a picture of him in the middle there that looks like beefed up Hulkster, but they're not showing it right now.
He's pointing to his, the one that's pointing to his bicep, which is a symbolism for jabbing a needle into you.
Yeah.
What's he saying, Steve? Is it sound new?
he's talking about the future of Hulkamania. What the future of Hulkamania is? This does look a little newer.
I think it is new. I mean, based on what Graham puts it as write up, he talks about the Beefcake DiBiase stuff.
And he's thinned out.
Yeah.
He's wearing black, the black Ico Pro. Shades of his WCW run where he shaves off half his mustache.
Pretty solemn. Were you guys excited? Were you watching all of this time? Were you excited when Hogan came back?
I was a little pumped. I'm not going to lie. I was a little pumped. Although at the time, I think I was watching more WCW, but I got interested when they said he was coming back.
I would have probably been more excited about a Warrior at that point. You know, I really liked Brett in 93.
Oh, and even then you felt a little leery with Hogan coming back?
Well, I always liked him, but by 93 I was just kind of, wasn't my favorite anymore.
I was definitely excited because as a kid at the time, I liked Brett a lot, but I think you could feel the lack of, like, stars. And I know that's kind of feeding into, you know, what we bitch about, that guys like Brett and Shawn were the ones that should have been pushed. They kept going back to the well, back to Hogan. But I remember as a kid definitely feeling like, all right, it was cool to have, like, Hulk Hogan back, you know.
I was very, very fired up that Hogan was coming back. He was the man.
I think maybe if he came back in a different capacity, I might have been more excited, but I didn't care for Brutus Beefcake that much. So, you know.
To have any vested interest, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Hogan's admitting that he's made mistakes and that people have gone to his past and that he's made mistakes, kind of a mea culpa without saying exactly what they're saying, what he did. And, he's talking about the tabloids being a negative influence and how they focus on the negative, and Hulkamania is about focusing on the positive.
Is that a swatch watch that he's wearing?
Could be.
He's basically just airing, this is like the, pop star equivalent of writing a song about all the paparazzi and everyone that's in your face all the time.
I thought you were going to say he's airing his grievances, and we get a little Festivus reference
there.
Yes,
he is airing his grievances.
That big ring he's wearing, too.
Wow.
I mean, the weird part about this is I'm pretty sure he comes out for an interview soon on the show. So, we're going to get a lot of Hulk Hogan talking on this show. Finally.
Hulk Hogan, friend to the end.
Sure.
Ooh.
Wow, that's a pretty swank six-man right there.
Love the Nasty Boys.
The Beverly Brothers. I keep forgetting they were there in 93.
I just have them, that picture in my mind of them getting just demolished by the Steiners. Was that that was at the Royal Rumble, correct?
Yes.
The Beverly Brothers? Yeah. It was just brutal. I can't look at them the same.
By the way, a big moment happened in that sit-down interview, apparently. Hogan introduces Fifth Demandment.
Yes,
believe in Hulk Hogan.
Believe in yourself and believe in Hulk Hogan, he said.
Believe in the Shield.
And believe in Ico Pro.
Ooh, Sean with the swank seafoam belt tonight.
Mm-hmm. His gold trimmed tights.
The Beverly with the mustache could be our best mullet.
That's
right?
Blake.
Bill Alfonso
checking out Sean's butt there.
Wow, nice.
Really leering
belt.
At him.
That was really nice of Blake. I like the gentle pat on the back he gave Sean when he was disrobing. So his knobs, I mean, is this a mullet? Because I feel like the Nasties.
But that's a mullet. I think it's a mohawk mullet.
Isn't Tim White holding a Nastyville?
Who was number 88 on the Jets there? Who
Al Toon.
Al
Toon. Right, JR? He hadn't retired yet, right?
You are correct, sir.
Al Toon. I like Dalton. Good receiver.
Somewhere in my basement, I have his rookie card. If you guys are interested in trading,
you're going to say somewhere in my basement, I have him.
Somewhere in my basement, I have Altoon.
Yeah.
Concussions, right?
Well, he might have
out of the league by concussions.
Yeah, he might. Yep, he might not have gotten home. So maybe he went to your house, Steve.
It could be changing the cat litter.
That's just awful.
Actually, he retired in '92. 9 concussions over his 8-year career.
And that's when they didn't even really keep track of him, which means he had at least 50.
35. I would love
for his career, 517 catches, 6,605 yards, and 31 touchdowns.
Oh, he was really good. Really?
And he was the AFC Player of the Year in 1986.
I thought it should have gone to Easton that year, but that's just me.
Steve Willie, do you know where Al Toon went to school?
Wisconsin?
Yes, he's a Badger.
Whatever happened to Jerry Sags? His knob still pops up. And
he was on an episode of Man vs. Food.
No really? Kidding.
Jerry Sags. Like
the least surprising thing ever, probably.
Season two. Right. No, he did a – it was Man vs. Food
Double Nation. Pity City.
It's the one where – because the last season Adam Richman did, he had like locals, and it was some – he was in Tampa. Big shock.
This week, Man vs. Food goes to Nastyville.
and he ate these – apparently he ate these crazy wings with like – you know, like the kind you like, Raj. Like habanero.
Ghost pepper.
Those chilies, and yeah, it was like this insane – and he ate them. So that was the last time I saw him.
He popped up like, on – Well, he popped up on that Hogan Knows Best episode. Remember they had like the pool party with all the 80s stars?
All the losers came over to freeload.
I think Sags was in that. He showed up with Knobs, so he must be bumming around somewhere. That's a great episode if you guys had ever seen it.
Mm. Well, I guess they were both on TNA, you know, a couple years ago,
that's
right?
Right, yes.
Forgot about that.
Yes. On a side note, Mr. Willie, Al Toon's son went to a high school in Middleton, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
And Nick, is that Nick? Nick Scott?
Nick, yep, and he played for the Badgers. And, of course, Roger, he was drafted by who in the fourth round of the 2012 NFL draft?
Who dat?
That's right.
New Orleans. He's probably going to be their number four receiver this year.
Yep. Enough about anything else you want to know about Al Toon. He was a 10th pick in the 1985 draft.
So the match has been okay so far. Sean now working over Knobs in the ring. Pretty standard six-man fare early on. The beginning was pretty hot with the Nasties and Tataka going right at them.
Those were like Sean's like standard tights throughout most of 93, the white with the with the red stripes. I don't think he really changed much in 93. Mm. His outfits,
chaps.
You know, coming to the ring outfit. Yeah, the chaps would change, but the tights were pretty standard throughout most of 93.
Steve, do you change your chaps often, or do you?
Well, what I do is I took the advice of the Levi CEO, and I leave them on for a week, and then I put them in the freezer to clean off. What I put a little stain remover on whatever, you know, spaghetti sauce or, you know, baby crap that I get on them for changing diapers.
You know, the CEO of Levi's will never steer you wrong, so.
No, he's never steered me wrong before. The Wrangler CEO, though.
Yeah, screw that guy.
Tatanka is a big dude. Huh?
Yeah, he's jacked.
Look at his legs.
It's a buffalo. Trunks. This must be the highest mullet per capita, I think, of a match we've seen so far.
Is it like four or five of them in this match?
Yeah, both Nasty, Tatanka. I mean, Sean's got the mullet. I think Bo is the only one that doesn't truly have a mullet.
And it's
close.
Attempting, yeah.
Borderline.
Do you give Blake extra points for the mustache with the mullet? Because that's, I think, where I was coming from there.
Yeah. I'm not debating. I think Blake could definitely be our choice. Tatanka is always in the running. We're going to get Beefcake appearance later, so don't forget him. He's always in the mix, too.
Sags is pretty long, though. Longer than I think he ever had it.
All right, so let's eliminate one of the Nasties. So Sags or Knobs, mullet. Who do we like better?
I like Sags.
Sags because of the length.
Sags whips around more as he moves.
Yes.
Whereas Knobs is tight to the skull. I don't know which one is better based off of that assessment.
I guess Sags whipping in the wind.
Yeah, you guys
to the skull.
You guys swayed me. You know, I think I was just more drawn to the blonde hair. But if you look at the mullet itself,
I've heard Sags. That Jeff Hardy named his move Whisper in the Wind after Jerry Sags' mullet.
They said if Jerry Sags...
It's like a house of fire here.
If Jerry Sags ran by you quick enough, you could hear the wisp in the wind.
In the wind.
His mullet traversed through the air.
Sounds interesting there. Tatanka beat all three of the other guys up, and then the Nasties came in and said, hey, you guys want to fight?
You guys want some help?
Checking out each other's mullets.
How do we feel with the Beverly's tights as well? The purple with the white stars. Very nice.
It is different. I've noticed a lot of the tights right now are that stripe, the zebra patterns. Yeah. Stars are definitely
ripped up.
Sure. How long does Rob Bartlett last? Because I don't know how much I can take of him anymore, and that's even with the volume down.
I want to say right after Mania, I think. So April.
Okay,
April.
Not long.
Not too much more. I think he's in like 10 episodes or something like that, 10 or 11. Yeah, there's one I think he misses, and then he comes back. And then he just is like missing on the road, and they never find him or something like that, so they write him out.
Steve, if you need someone else to take over the audio until he's gone, just let me know.
What's interesting about the production is I've kept the TV at the same volume the entire time until just recently. And so like the Hogan interviews, the backstage stuff is way down in volume. But then when they go back to live action, I think that's why you heard the Savage so loud.
Yeah, I mean, even now I can faintly hear Vince.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to turn it back down. I had to turn it much louder for the Hogan interview.
LT jersey.
Yeah. Oof. Brian Knobbs takes a face full of ring posts.
And where'd you see the LT jersey, Raj?
In the front row on the Beverly's corner side.
Yeah, I saw it last year, too. Or he was about to have his last year in 1993.
How do we feel
little
about...
Go ahead.
You know, go ahead, Raj.
So little did we know that he'd be in the ring with Bam Bam.
A budding wrestling career soon.
Yeah.
How do we feel about the Nasty Boys' chains on their boots? It doesn't really seem like a tough guy thing.
Are they really supposed to be tough guys or more like just biker dudes?
Even a biker dude thing.
Who don't shower and stuff.
They're more like fashionable chains on their boots.
Yeah, well, if you notice, they have nice buckles on.
I don't shower.
Yeah, they're weird boots. They're like a trendy fashion thing you'd see like in New York or something, like on the runway.
I've never gotten the appeal of the Nasty Boys. I mean, even the fans are really behind them right here. I had a couple of really good matches in WCW, and I'm sure that like if Chad were here, he'd correct me and say that they had a 5-star match somewhere. But
they had
never get those out. So.
No, I will say the JR true recommendation. Halloween Havoc '90, their match with the Steiner Brothers was awesome. That is a match I highly recommend we all check out at some point.
Well, and then of course they had against Max Payne and
Cactus.
Yeah.
Spring Stampede.
That Steiner's match is one of my favorite tag matches I've ever seen since I was watching.
I don't want to ever hear about that pay-per-view. I could have gone to that.
Halloween Havoc 90?
Oh, no. Spring Stampede 94.
Spring Stampede 94? Oh.
Yeah. One of the most famous pay-per-views of all time, and I wasn't able to go for...
Great show.
This match may challenge our record.
Why would the smaller guy give the bigger guy a bear hug? It's very weird.
This match is pretty long.
I think it's funny, too, if you take off the Nasty shirts, they look like dancing out, like dancer outfits.
You know? The leotards.
Well, if you notice Sags in the corner, he kind of skips around.
So maybe that was their gimmick. Gracefully. Maybe they were background like ballet dancers.
Evil leotards.
Kicked out of the ballet for being too nasty.
Yes.
And stole the chain boots.
Schakowsky's got nothing on these Nasty Boys.
A plie? How about a pity city?
Oof.
These two will show you what the Nutcracker Suite's all about.
Mojo Raleigh butt drop.
Very energetic Bo move. Who did you guys prefer of the Beverly Brothers, Bo or Blake?
Blake.
Okay.
Who's who?
That's very confident.
Blake.
Well, sorry, it was a dumb question, apparently. Blake is the obvious answer.
Sorry, you thought Bo, my God.
Blake is now in the ring, Steve. He's the one with the mustache.
Yeah, I like Blake. That's Mike Enos, correct?
Yes,
yeah.
Blake is Mike Enos, like, and Bo was Wayne Bloom.
I always thought Enos was a little underrated.
One year,
he was pretty good.
367 in the PWI, 3500.
He should have been at least 362. That was completely unfair.
Is it the mustache that sways you guys, or do you actually think he's better?
I just knew he was Mike Enos, and so it just kind of goes beyond the Beverlys, I guess. I remember Mike Enos outside of the Beverly Brothers, you know?
Well, because Bloom did pop up, I think, in WCW a little bit. Not as consistently as Enos was, but...
Well, they were in AWA as well, correct? And Enos was...
The Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That was an awful double clothesline, right? They just kind of grazed arms.
Yeah. It looked like they didn't know if they were doing clothesline or a shoulder block. See, look at, there's Sag skipping. Prancing, I guess is a better word. Prancing in the ring corner.
Just staying loose.
Tatanka looking very intense. This has been a very long heat segment on Brian Knobbs. There we go. There's a tag.
Right. Tatanka. It's an odd match. Odd choice. Of,
Steve, have they talked about the Superstars match at all yet?
No, they have not. That I've heard of.
It's interesting. So that was definitely the week in between this, right? That's what they were saying?
Yeah. And I haven't been listening close enough, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, I know Tatanka did win the non-title match. I know that. So it's surprising they haven't talked about it.
Yeah.
He beat Sean on Superstars.
Tatanka, as Vince McMahon just called him.
Tatanka.
Tatanka really clean. I mean, you could tell they were lighting him up for a good push after the Battle Royal.
Yeah, this is like super mega push in this match.
Yeah, pretty much every time he's in the ring, he handles all three of them pretty easily.
Yeah.
He really got that war dance down after a while. Like, he really goes warp speed around the ring with it.
It's probably took some ballet lessons from the Nasty Boys.
Yes.
Uh-oh, top rope chop.
It's devastating.
That's gotta do it, right?
Oh, Sean. Hanging in.
Wow. Sure, like, I know.
Tatanka seems angry. You'd think someone may call him a Redskin or something.
Two guys in tuxedos in the, about the fourth row center.
Should get over it.
Hey, as the jacket aficionado, I need to let you guys know that they're not wearing your
Jackets. That looked like it would be a nice leg drop to break it up. He got some height and then he whiffed.
Yeah, even though he missed everything.
Nasty take care of both Beverlys.
It's nice that they helped out this time.
Yeah.
We're down to one-on-one, Sean and Tatanka.
Here comes a teardrop suplex.
Uh-oh.
Your favorite move in Royal Rumble, Sega Genesis.
Nice reversal into a sunset flip for the win.
And it works.
Tatanka picks up two straight wins over Shawn Michaels in non-title situations.
That's a pretty good match.
I enjoyed it. It was about 14 minutes, according to Graham, so not quite in the running. But Scott, does that check in as our second longest?
That does pass Savage and Repo. So. Okay.
So we'll call it 14 even. And there they go, exiting through the crowd, a victorious trio of tap dancers. Good match. One of our better ones we've had so far on this run.
Now we have a little
oh, thank you, made a seizure.
Promo? Yeah. Wonder if we get a Mean Gene update here. I don't know. I don't know if they ever did this and the report at the same time.
Yeah, well, this is just like a commercial.
Yeah.
I think they've definitely done both.
And we still got half the show left. So.
Like a couple of matches left, and we still got to hear from Hogan, I believe.
Mm. There's a nice sweater in the front row there behind Rob Bartlett.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, the red, and blue, and gray.
Mm-hmm. It's Jordan with his Lions hat on there.
Yeah, that's
there you go.
Yeah, Barry Sanders.
We got a good mullet on that kid who's holding the other kid's head.
Definitely.
Kind of a curly mullet in the crowd.
This guy looks like, he's about to take. What is he doing to that guy?
It's like, I call that one the Gutenberg.
Oh, yeah, there you go. It looked like he was licking that other guy's ear, too, which you got to give him points for.
The maybe founder of the printing press, Duncan?
Oh, he's doing it again.
Yeah, that's
it. Savage inter.
Look at that jacket.
JR, this kid stole your buddy.
Yeah, huh? This is as good a condition as I'm looking at him right now. He's sitting next to me on the couch.
Sean Mooney's just getting molested out there by these people.
So he likes it.
It's a vintage Colorado Rockies.
Huh? I know, huh? They got to get in early in the Rockies. They had just started. That was the first year. It was coming up in 93.
Yeah, they hadn't even started yet. Huh? Look at that.
He's on the cutting edge of sports fandom.
Yes.
Oh, actually, our mullet... the whole discussion of the mullets may go quickly out of the window with this next
That's
match
right.
going up.
Yep.
Yeah. Crush is always tough.
Oh, boy. There you go, Raj.
Whoa. Who smells bacon?
What is the point of that? Like, is there a joke behind
it's,
that?
It's uncut and uncensored. And
I'm pretty sure that's honestly one of the Rosati sisters.
I think I saw her talking to Aaron George on Sunday.
Yes.
Not a very nice thing to say about D'Amato.
Oh, look at Crush holding the ropes open for that large lady. Here's Roger's boy, Terry Taylor.
Yep.
Terrific, Terry Taylor.
He totally sucks.
So Crush's mullet.
What about that guy? Looks like Duggan with a yellow shirt on.
We should name the.
He's been going wild the whole show.
Oh, here's Brett pretending he's not on steroids.
The Crush Honorary Crush Mullet Award.
Yeah, I work out while holding my belt. Well, that's a real jazzed up gym, huh? It's probably the gym at Titan Towers. It's probably what it is.
Have we had a 90s guy? I think we really haven't had a real runaway candidate.
No, I've been looking too. We still got time.
I mean, I guess Crush by default could be that as well. Who's that 90210 guy now? He could have ran away on this show.
I know.
Terry Taylor just always looks the same. Red tights.
Look older. Yeah.
If you really wanted to get away from the Red Rooster thing, could he just give it up? It's like he's so hooked on the red tights.
Yeah, like maybe go to blue.
Nah, I can't get rid of the red.
It's my thing. It's my gimmick.
The red. I love it so much. It makes me pop. It's odd. It's like he wants to bury the Rooster thing, but he keeps basically having the same look.
Yes.
Cut your hair. Get rid of the tights. Do something to look different.
Right.
He's an unoriginal bastard. That's my take. Oh, nice.
Crush going to a quick karate pose there as he stood up?
So. He's a true master in the martial arts.
Yeah.
Big breast slam on Terry Taylor. Yeah. Out to the floor.
Yeah, that mullet's running away with this show right now.
Nothing really close at this moment.
Best part of the show.
If he's on the show, I mean, he's winning best mullet. Pretty much.
We're in trouble through the end of 94 then. Anytime he pops up. It's going to take a real contender to get over him.
I got the urge to buy an Altoon jersey now.
And grow a mullet.
Yes.
Two-tone.
Altoon and Wesley Walker, though, with the Kenny O'Brien throwing to him. Very underrated receiving duo.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Switch them with the old Marx brothers in Miami, and
Clayton
I think Danny Boy takes a Super Bowl, even with no defense.
Yeah, those guys all
see
retired.
What is this move Taylor's doing? Right? Isn't this just why he's bad?
It's like off. A half-assed kind of camel clutch chin lock thing.
No weight on Crush's body whatsoever.
None.
I mean, I'm no official wrestling aficionado or anything, as everybody's well aware. Just guys like this, they just don't, you know, undersized, not real athletic, kind of like comes off like a douchebag, for lack of a better word.
I think instead of terrific, his nickname should have been Cash and Checks. Next up in the ring, Cash and Checks Terry Taylor.
His trunks say Terrific Terry. But Terry's like underlined, so it looks like it says Terrific Larry, but Larry's spelled wrong.
Terrific Larry.
Terrific Larry,
Larry Taylor.
So he's basically like Jerry from Parks and Rec at this point. There's different names. Yeah. Every...
Yes, yep, exactly.
Yeah, whatever they call him, that's what he is.
Yep. Gary.
Larry.
Yeah, Gary Taylor.
It looks like Lucy, actually, if you look at it quick.
Terrific Lucy.
That's more like it.
What, Terrific Lady? It looks like an L and a Y. Let's get pummeled by Crush after that vicious chin lock wore Crush down.
Why that didn't work?
He's basically just providing him a Crush a pillow to lean back on for a few minutes.
Yes.
Alicia Fox tilt the world backbreaker right there.
He's sizing him up.
Oh, one of the worst finishing moves of all time. Oh,
that's
here.
Terrible, huh?
Kona Crush.
Yeah.
That's it. Terry Taylor can't handle the head pressure any longer.
Crush was, they had to give him a different finisher than that. That was ugly. But he looked good. I always like to see Taylor lose, so that's my match of the night.
I'm just scouring the crowd now for hopes of finding a 90s winner here.
They're out there.
I mean, I think Crush is probably the leader right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Coco Beware, you know, it's not unprecedented. Coco Beware did win on our first, our inaugural podcast.
It's just sad to give them both mullet and 90s, you know.
Right.
But I know we only got one match left, so we'll see what Hogan and Beefcake do in their promo, and then our final match. Maybe we'll be saved. I haven't seen any promising members of the crowd yet.
No, not too many.
Going back to last week.
If you look close, you might see the 90210 guy during this replay.
Yeah, we can week. Retroactively
get retroactively.
We know he's there, so technically we could.
I mean, this girl in the red sweater may be in the
right. That whole family, really.
Yeah.
A family of five.
He's got the George Michael guy up there.
Oh, what is that guy doing?
Yeah, I think Bartlett's gotten fatter since the last episode. Like he really packed on the winter weight since February 1st.
Did he have a mustache? Didn't he shave it?
Yes,
he did. Could they have picked an older picture of Hogan? It's like 1986.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm worried about this, guys.
About you, did you see the UNLV shirt? That's pretty 90s.
Yeah. Stacey Augman jersey.
Ooh.
So the Backlund guy was there last week as well.
Yeah, I saw him in that replay there. We were just showing.
Oh, I completely overlooked him. Hogan and his all red ensemble. 93 special.
Yeah, is this when he first started wearing pants instead of trunks, right?
I think so, yeah.
Hide them skinny legs.
No, he was still wearing pants. He was still wearing. You talking about like when he was wrestling?
No, he has never worn pants wrestling.
You know?
Yeah, he was still wearing tights.
Oh, okay.
Short tights.
Yeah,
he doesn't go to the pants till he comes back in 02.
Well, in WWF, he wears them as Hollywood.
Oh, that's right. He does wear them as Hollywood, yeah. That's true.
I think we lost Steve Willey trying to get him back on the line here.
Maybe it's the last time, because in 01, when he has that XPW mat or whatever it is with Perfect, because it's on his DVD, he's wearing his old short gold tights.
Okay.
Well, does he have the long pants or the Steve, you back with us?
Yes, I'm here.
When Hogan turns back face in 99, does he go right back to the tights or does he just have like yellow pants?
I think he wore the yellow trunks.
Okay, so he went right back to the old Hogan look.
I think.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, Jordan. I don't think he wears long yellow and red till like Backlash 02.
I remember they tried to milk that, the return of Hulkamania on Nitro against, I think it was Nash was the champion.
Well, when he's doing like the New Blood stuff, he had like jeans, and he wrestled on jeans and the FUNB.
Steve left for a minute because he had to feed Al Toon in the basement.
Yes. Yes. Give him his concussion medication.
Yes. Drink
I'm
this.
Nothing if not kind to my former Badgers. I can't stand the Badgers, so.
What's Hogan saying, Steve Willey?
Hogan's talking about how he was back home in his beach house in Venice Beach, and he saw Brutus, his best friend, get beaten up by Money, Inc.
What's with these interviews with these long life stories lately on Raw? It's like, all right, go out there and talk about the last 4 years of your life in a very solemn way. There's a crowd. It looks like they're silent. Are they listening, Steve, or do they seem bored?
They're waving to the crowd.
A little bored.
Yeah, a little bored. Except the tuxedo guys are really excited. There's a guy at the bottom left in the tie-dye right there.
Wow, the Bob Backlund guy shows up like all the time, huh? There he is right there again.
Brutus is okay, guys.
Whew, good.
Whew. Nervous about that.
Crisis averted.
I'll be able to sleep tonight now.
Hogan really had the dark eyebrow, blonde hair, mustache thing going there at this point.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't caring about dye jobs hair.
And definitely much thinner.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Even his face.
Severely off the gas.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's thanking God, and I believe he's going to thank Jimmy Hart for watching for Brutus Beefcake. That's no joke. That is legit. That is.
In this order, I thank God and Jimmy Hart.
God of airbrush.
Yeah, first, he thanked God for watching over Brutus.
I mean, he didn't really. I mean, Brutus got attacked pretty badly.
Yes. Thanks for protecting him while he got his face bashed in with a suitcase.
God's right-hand man, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
When God touched the mouth of the South on the shoulder, brother, he sent him down here to Earth to do the bidding of his son. Oh, maybe that explains why Jimmy Hart has never aged a day in all these years. On looks the same.
It's a good diet job.
To be around forever. He's bequeathed to the earth by God.
Abraham Hart.
Look at Vince.
Wow.
Big bug. He's really into this.
Vince, wow. Trying to resist a big
kiss. I just want to kiss you.
Welcome back.
Dollar signs. Just
maybe we won't have to be in this crappy arena every week anymore.
Yes. Or Vince was hanging out with Beefcake before the show.
That's possible as well. Would Coke even affect Beefcake at this point since his face is just all metal? Is there anything even
to collect?
So it really hasn't said anything of any substance here. Asking for his friend to come out. And Beefcake coming out here and now same tights, but yellow mesh underneath instead of...
Wow.
Well, he's going to show his unity
like
now.
Big Bird there, yeah.
Those sunglasses.
That's pretty 90s if we can't
I
find
say,
anyone
I think
else.
Those shades yeah. may cinch it for him.
The mail order. Mail order shades. Folkleys.
That shirt is all kinds of... It's got feathers. It's got strings
laces,
on the
shoelaces.
Chest. It's got laces.
This is the gobbledygookers type tights.
Yeah.
All it's missing is a little bit of fur.
Is that Jesus on Brutus's necklace or is it Jimmy Hart? I can't tell.
What's the difference?
So they did a pretty good job. I think it looks like.
I was just thinking they did a pretty decent skit. Mm-hmm.
This is way too much Beefcake talking over the three-week span, though. I mean, this is more than he's probably talked in the 4 years that he was in the company before.
Mm-hmm.
You think Beefcake let someone break his nose? Because the way his eyes are black.
the eye black looks pretty good.
Hey, maybe that blood was real.
There's no way in hell IRS did it with that thing. But
well, and I don't think it would have been this bad for 4 weeks between these tapings.
Inadvertent sanity by Beefcake is that he said there's no way you can shatter my face because it's titanium, thus ruining the entire point of the angle.
You learned that from Hogan.
Yeah.
Diffuse heels properly.
Don't bother working over my face, guys. You can't break it.
This is all just
his face exploded. So I'm realizing I saw this episode 20 years ago or 21 years ago. Like, this is all coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Just sitting in the back of my head somewhere.
So I'm picturing Beefcake at about 3 in the morning with Hogan. Just gone. Hit me. Hit me. Break it. Sell
Make it real.
Make it look good.
You can't shatter titanium, brother.
Let's have Typhoon come over and throw one of his weak-ass punches in your face.
Don't feel a thing. Mojo will come over and sit on you. Stay hyped.
Then Scott Steiner burst into the room and said, I'll do this for you. Don't worry.
And they all run.
So on a tangent, you guys have mentioned that a few times. Is Scott Steiner known as a guy who like screws stuff up and hurts people?
He used to be actually a very good worker, Roger, in the late 80s, early 90s. And then when he got really, you know,
It's not even jacked. That he screwed it up. It's just that he wasn't careful.
He couldn't do a lot of the stuff he used to anymore. Like the Frankensteiner he could do in like 88, 9, 90, 91, but by 93 he was much bigger and he couldn't get the elevation to jump. So he couldn't flip and every flip got shorter and shorter and, you know, guys were landing on their head.
Yeah.
So he wasn't like a swagger. Just hurt.
No.
Okay. No.
Thank you for the history lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Hart just announced as Hogan and Beefcake's new manager. What? Now, what is that he has on his jacket, being the aficionado?
Angel wings.
Looks like molten lava or like the thing from Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Got a piano tie.
Yes, that's his big thing. I think he always wore the piano tie.
And there's lips
looks
on
like
the
fire,
megaphone mouth.
Fire with graffiti on the jacket, right? Is the blue graffiti?
I think backstage when he was putting this on, he said, one day someone's going to have a contest for most 90s and I'm going to blow everyone out of the water here. Watch this, boys. This is how it's done.
I mean, you think Hogan has said, yeah, I'll come back, but I want my buddies to be my partner, man. Like, this is just like him bringing his entourage together, right?
Definitely.
Pretty much.
Because I can't think of anybody who's like a writer or director or producer thinking, you know what this Hogan and Beefcake promo needs? More Jimmy Hart promo. Sunglasses are off. He's serious.
This might be the first Jimmy Hart babyface promo like in WWF history, though, right?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt, yeah.
In all history. Like, I think he was a heel. He was in Memphis and everything.
Too. Really? Hmm.
So when we're talking greatest factions, where does this one rank? Hogan, Beefcake, and Jimmy.
Right behind the Brood at number two.
Yeah. Number three.
I mean, it was a pretty good faction, like, initially here, you know? We know sure. Where it goes, but...
I mean, there's star power, yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like a big deal at the time. Like, wow, Jimmy Hart was still a top manager. Probably the top manager at the time, still. Because Bobby was not managing anymore.
By retrospect. Ugh.
Yeah.
Slick?
I think he was pretty much done even at this point, too.
Harvey Whippleman would probably be second.
And Paul Bearer. I mean, those are probably the top three.
The disappointment that I have for El Gigante not coming on this evening. I mean, he's probably in Argentina revving up the team, but...
Relaxing somewhere.
Given what I've seen, shouldn't he just come out right now and just kick Hogan's ass and kick Beefcake's ass?
So they officially coined the name Mega Maniacs here. That's a new faction name. And they're going after
back
money.
Back on Fan Unplussed.
So, I mean, it was kind of interesting, too, that he came back basically as a tag guy. Because they say they're going after Money, Inc. and him and Beefcake are a team. So he's not even being positioned as a solo threat or someone going after the world title here. So it was almost weird that they brought him back, main event level, but in a tag role.
Maybe he didn't originally plan to probably be. Maybe Vince paid him for just this stretch from now till Mania.
I don't remember exactly what happens, but if the Mega Powers thing is any indicator, Hulk will probably end up trying to steal the show a little bit through this
Jimmy,
run.
Start dating Jimmy Hart? Is that what he wants to do?
not that aspect of it, Scott. Yeah. But,
So as Hogan was tearing off his shirt to the crowd's delight, Vince McMahon in the background screaming at the top of his lungs, "Yeah, rip it off!"
I don't know if they would. Although, Roger, going back to your theory, I mean, yeah, Beefcake turning heel, maybe he would eventually.
many times.
Actually, only a year later would be the first time.
What the heck? You know, I didn't even realize it when I was watching it, but one of the cowboys goes to class. He was like, was it the disciple? Was that his name?
Yep.
I had no idea it was him. I looked it up afterwards. And
he was all bearded then and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, and that was a week.
Yeah, from this point on, he pretty much tags along and is involved with all of Hogan's shit.
Yeah, he's just a lackey.
Our first, is this our first Taker sighting since episode one?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
First time we get his entrance, too.
Mm-hmm. Probably his quickest entrance of all time. Skinner. I think he's got like the gout going on or something.
He doesn't
He's not even bothering to spit his Hershey's chocolate syrup.
He looks like he's just been hitting the bottle hard or something. He's very bloated.
Yeah, yeah.
High salt diet.
A lot of Ico Pro. Yeah.
Yes.
He's just eating it instead of actually using it as a supplement.
Yes.
These jars of Ico Pro are good.
Another commercial break.
Wow.
Wow, they had some pretty long segments on this one.
Back to the action.
Between that six-man and then that both Hogan promos had some long, long segments.
Yeah, this looks like the match started. What? Jesus.
Based on the amount of time left, I don't think it's going to go too long.
Was that it?
Yeah, they just showed Skinner hit him a clothesline, Undertaker went over the top rope, and that was all they showed. Back to the commercials.
They must have been just running wicked long here, because it was live.
Oh, he's back again.
It was live.
I thought that's all we were going to get.
I mean, live show, the Hogan promo. I'm guessing that Hogan Beefcake thing went long. That'd be my guess.
Yeah. Well, they let
due to Beefcake's long-windedness.
Skinner Jean. He's so fat, Undertaker just collapsed under his weight.
Just drove his skull into the railing.
We'll do the spot, bastard. Brother, where I just jump on your back, okay? He's fucking just collapses.
He's gator wrestling him, right? Is that his thing?
Listen, fat ass, get off my back. Your tight chinos.
Wow, they're about ready to go off the air.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know what happened with this top-notch
match. That's it. The
match,
show ends during the match.
We'll just assume Undertaker lost, I guess.
Undertaker didn't get one move in that little minute and a half.
Skinner is dominating him, riding him down to the ground. So, all right, that wraps up episode February 22nd, episode 6 of Raw History. So I guess we're in agreement that Crush is our best mullet?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what are we doing for 90s?
I'm going Beefcake. Again, he is the guy when there's no other options. So I'm going Beefcake.
The shades clinched it?
Yeah. I have to agree with Roger. I like that jacket, too.
I want to throw Jimmy Hart a nod, but I'll go with Beefcake, too.
Those glasses were pretty pimp.
Yeah.
All right. I think we said the sixth man was 14 minutes. And what are we giving this show as a grade, Mr. Steve Willing?
Match of the night.
I'm going to go 5 for me. I did not enjoy that. I might even go lower, 4.5, I'd say.
Jordan?
Yeah, this one was, especially watching it right after the last one, which I thought was pretty fun. This one was, I'd say a 4. Not real good.
I'm going to go 4 as well. How about you, Raj?
I was going to go considerably higher than that, but...
That's fine. Go ahead.
15.
We'll go with that. I'll just say 6.
So you thought this one was better than the last one?
Yeah, just bringing Hogan back, I think it's more of an important moment. And I liked that 6-man tag at the beginning. I thought it was good.
That was a good match.
That was my match of the night.
I'm judging it just by that this show felt longer than the other one. Yeah, I don't know, maybe it's unfair because it's our second one, but the segments felt a lot longer. Like, just I think it was too much talking. That long, we didn't need 2 Hogan interviews. Like, that, to me, was the overkill.
Right. Well, the last one, they were just... You know, instead of the Hogan interviews, you had just the, like, Yokozuna beating the hell out of the little guy, and,
It's better than hearing Hogan talk twice.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
All right, Scott, what do you think?
I'll split the difference. I agree with Roger. I did like the 6-man tag, but I will say that those two, Hogan twice, that added up, to 22 of the 46 minutes? So I'll give it a 5.
Okay. So we'll say just under a 5, probably. Willie, do the math.
Hit a 4. Yeah, just under 5.
Okay. Call it a 5, Scott. Match of the night. I think we're all in agreement. The 6-man?
Yeah, the 6-man.
That Bam Bam squash is pretty fun, though.
It was fun. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, the 6-man.
All right, boys. 6 episodes of Raw in the books. We'll be back in another 4 weeks. Hopefully, Jordan, we can push Chad out the door permanently and have you join us here. We'll see.
That sounds great to me.
Okay. You have 4 weeks to figure out a way to incapacitate him to the point that he can't get up here on the show. Scott, we are back Monday with Armageddon 2002.
Yep.
And next Wednesday, main event, and Kevin Kelly show, and then we're off for the week like we talked about on Monday. So visit PlaceToBeNation.com, get your votes in for the World Cup of Greatest TV Characters. And until Monday, we'll have a great 4th of July. Enjoy the long weekend. Enjoy the weather. Hopefully you're out of the path of this hurricane. Everyone stays safe and sound. So for Steve and Jordan and Roger and Scott, I'm Justin. We'll talk to you all Monday night from somewhere in Florida. Fort Lauderdale? Yeah.
Orlando, Wisconsin.
If you don't vote Big Bird, I'm going to take that whole tournament down.
Big Bird's got a shot. I think he's got a legit shot to win the whole thing.